You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 80.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Welcome, it's the beginning of another edition of V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark, oh yeah, Johnson, and this week's spoiler-filled review will cover Fogtown by Anderson Grabich, oh bloody hell, what a way to start off the show, and art by Brad Raider, but not the shitty Oakland Raiders who lost the one and only time I root for them to beat the crappy Niners so I can get Singletary and Alex Smith out of here, and they lose. How do you lose to the Niners? How do you lose to an 0-5 Niners? Raiders, you suck. Suck, I can't believe it. Anyways, you know what's weird? Whenever I take a little breaky break from the show and come back, I'm always at a loss. Like, how do I do this again? How do I do it? I don't know. It like takes a couple minutes or seconds, whatever, for me to warm up until I get into the groove of things. But then I always feel like I got a lot of energy when I come back. I'm like, oh yeah, oh yeah. I do so love me Jersey Shore. And I did annoy my friends all with that last night. They're haters. Haters, man. Of course, my friends are a bit weird. Oh, I swear to God, they all fucking drive me nuts. Cause, goddamn, they all watch the Cartoon Network. I'm like, really? Cartoons today aren't even fucking good. Yet you're gonna subject me to this shit. They like none of them know any pop culture. I got various groups of friends. Well, like some of them do, but the ones I was with last night and a couple other, like one or two other groups, know nothing. I'm just like, oh yeah, watch your cartoons. Fruits. Okay. anyways. So, it was kind of good that I took last weekend off because I won the tournament. Booyah! Oh yeah! I actually won and it felt good. It felt good. Unfortunately, see, this is why I'm so goddamn monotone, in case you're wondering. I try to hold my emotions in check. So I win a tournament, right? And then I get food poisoning. I think it was the chili I bought, or it could have been the craptastic Red Robin food. Not to mention that, what else? Yeah, their mudslides were bad. So I had food poisoning for the past week, and this is the first time. I must say, it's not very pleasant. I've never had it before. This is a mild case. I had chronic diarrhea a lot, and it kind of hurt eventually, and it's kind of felt like when you eat jalapenos, which I love, and then your asshole burns. It kind of felt like that, and then it just started to hurt, and you guys probably don't want to hear about that, but man, food poisoning or chronic diarrhea, either or, no fun. But I did take a couple days off work, so I got to watch some shows live on my TV instead of on my monitor. Oh, this is cool. Except for, I didn't watch Supernatural live. Supernatural sucks now, by the way. I'm not praising it anymore. Should have ended in 5 seasons. I'm very upset over that. But I'm very happy that I won. Although the character I pick is coming out next set and won't have my name on the card. Fucking AEG. I should have picked someone else. Yeah. Rubbish. That's already printed. So by when I quit the game in a year, I bet you there won't be an Experience 2 version of my guy. Who knows? Well, I guess we'll find out. Whatever. All right, enough of this crap about whatever. Jersey Shore and me taking a shit and my tournament win. There's actually a lot of news to get to today. So let's get down to it.
Vertigo News.
Alrighty. News item number one. Renowned chef and best-selling author Anthony Bourdain. I've not heard of him, but apparently he's big. Although, to be a New York Times bestseller, the odds are like 1 out of 220. Yeah, not very high. Oh, and they don't count sell-throughs, so who gives a shit? Alright. Anyways, he's a renowned chef. Good for him. He's working on a Vertigo original graphic novel. It's going to be written by him and Joel Rose, which means it's going to be written by Joel Rose with one or two ideas by Anthony Bourdain. Well, with art by Langdon Foss. It's called Get Jiro? 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 Is this supposed to be Japanese? Because if it is, it's pronounced one way. If it's not, it's pronounced another way. Gyro. Gyro. I forgot, it's been a while since I've taken Japanese. Anyways, this is about a futuristic action thriller that takes place in America's... Oh, no. Here we go. Here's my movie voice. Get Gyro is a futuristic action thriller that takes place in America's newfound obsession with exotic cuisine to a manic violent extreme. It takes place in a world where food and the secrets of how to prepare it are the source of all power, leading master chefs to fight over Jiro, a mysterious top-notch sushi chef with ideas of his own and a hidden agenda and a secret that can never be revealed. Okay, those last two things I made up, but sounds interesting. I actually might pick it up. Who knows? Next news item. Do you love the Sandman? Of course, we all do. Voice pitch got a little higher. Now I'm lying. But if you love it and are not like me, Leslie Klinger? Man, butchering these names. Leslie Klinger. I don't even know if that's a guy or a girl. I'm going to say girl. This is Leslie. If you're a guy and your name's Leslie... I'm sorry, you've got bigger problems than me thinking you're a girl. She will be working on the annotated Sandman, which will be 4 volumes. It's not given a date, though, and I have no idea how annotated Sandman will work in comic form. I'm not even sure about annotated stuff in regular works. The only thing that's coming to my mind is like Cliff Notes. Man, it's been so long since I've been in school. It's like annotated. I know. So basically, if you really love Sandman, you should get it. And I think they're just milking it. I would rather see like another series based from the Sandman world, like Lucifer or Dead Boy Detectives or something. We'll just do annotated. That's great. It's not even annotated by Neil Gaiman. The fuck is that? Alright. So, if you love Sandman, and you love Fables, really, it's just like one thing after another. Okay, so it looks like Cinderella will be back, because like the Sandman, they must milk the Vertigo series is that makes money. So, I'm not sure if it's going to be another mini, or an outgoing, since it doesn't say, but if I had to wager, it's probably going to be a mini, and then if sales are enough, it'll be an ongoing, right? But this isn't written by Bill Willingham, so why am I giving Cinderella shit? She's actually one of the characters I liked, and I kind of wanted to read the mini, but that's neither here nor there. Okay. So... I don't know why I wrote this down, but Hank Canals, whatever. He's named Senior Vice President of Digital. He's named Senior Vice President Digital of DC Entertainment. I got that exactly from the website too. That didn't even sound right. That's why I misspelled it. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. But if I was to guess, I would say he's now Karen Berger's boss. So, like everyone else is boss's boss? Whatever. I'm guessing he'll be a manager. Or he'll basically be a manager of like Mad, Vertigo, and the DCU. So he'll do nothing but schmooze and then take credit for stuff and have boring ass meetings that no one cares about. I don't know, he could do a lot. Canals. Canal? Ooh. What if they call them like root canal or some shit? Okay, so lastly, something that sounds interesting. Well, sort of. I'm not liking Brian Wood at the moment. He's not returned my email. Jackass. Okay, so Brian, I'm pretty sure he listened to the show and was like, oh, he hates my work. No, I hate one of them, not both of them. I've not read the others. I'm not going to now. Okay, so Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly will do a 4-issue mini called The New York Five. Now, if anyone was smart, they would have done a 5-issue mini called The New York Five. See what I did there? I bet you they might extend it. They probably should. If anyone's listening, and seriously, go say New York Five should be 5 issues. Because it makes sense. Just throw some filler in there. Add some tension. Okay, so let me read this. Okay, that sounds boring. Okay, let me read it in my movie voice. Well, then I gotta clear my throat. Because it really takes a lot out of me. There's nothing more exciting than college life in the big city. But you never know what's around the corner. In the New York Five, Riley's sister Angie is making a name in the Lower East Side with her new band. And now Riley is the black sheep of the family. Lona's murky past appears to have been hiding an alarming proficiency for stalkerism. And Marissa and Ren are about to confront uncomfortable situations involving older men. But who is the five in the New York Five? Wah, wah, wah. No. It should be dum, dum, dum. Okay. Actually sounds interesting. Yeah. Although, that's weird that Brian Wood's writing about 4 or 5 chicks. Okay, maybe you want to try something new. Alright, well, I'll be on the lookout for one or two of those things. And if you're interested, be on the lookout for my next album. Okay, not my next album. For those things. Alright. Now enough news talk, because I'm hungry, and I want to eat. So let's wrap things up by talking about Fogtown.
And now it's time for the rundown.
So, Fogtown by Anderson Grabich, I'm not sure about his last name still, and Brad Rader. Now, I've been hesitant, as you might have known if you've listened to the show, to buy any of the Vertigo Crime Line books. I don't care for hardcovers. They're expensive and I'm a cheap bastard. And I'm not big in the crime. In case you're wondering, no, I haven't seen The Godfather from beginning to end. And really, do I really need to see The Godfather from beginning to end? Like, it's been spoofed so many times. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was even mentioned if you've got mail, for God's sakes. Oh, and lastly, I don't like my comics in black and white. But then when I heard of Fogtown, it was interesting enough to buy. But that's because of my geographical location. Like, if I didn't live in the Bay Area, I wouldn't have bought it. I'm not gonna lie. I might have bought it in, like, one of the 50% off bins. No, I wouldn't have bought it. Because I wouldn't live in the Bay Area. Right? That's how that works. Okay. So, Fogtown. Let me try to summarize. It's about a cop. Oh, actually. A detective named Frank Grizzle. That's a very manly name. So Grizzle takes on a case. I'm not actually sure what. Takes on a case to find a girl who's supposed to be like a mother came from her, and then she's supposed to be like this lost girl, but she's drugged, and there's this. Okay, I'm gonna completely fuck up speaking about this because it's kind of fucked up to understand it. It's very, very confusing. So there are like underage hookers. Oh, this takes place 50s, probably. I think 50s. And well, he finds her. Then he runs into like some Chinese madam or something. And then there's like an old colonel who does something. I don't know. I'm doing a bad job. Oh no. I really have no idea how to explain this. Because, like, as first it starts off as a simple case, right? He's looking, Frank Grizzle's looking for some chick. And he's boinking his secretary, who's, he's not married to, but he's not married, but he's never kissed her. So he's got issues, obviously. And then, like, he finds her and takes her back. But I forgot why. It turns out that she's not, whatever. She's not who she was. And the mother was just an actor because the Chinese chick's ledgers for her business were stolen by this person. I think they were stolen. And, well, in all the case, it turns out that the colonel and the Chinese chick... That kind of sounds, it's not racist, he really is Chinese. Okay, they're working together, and the psychiatrist in the book is Gristle's daughter, right? She's trying to help people. So, there's like all this double crossing and stuff. Oh, Frank's secretary dies, and he's framed for the murder. I kind of remember the ending because, you know, I finished it the other day. But the beginning and all that, it just... I probably should have flipped through the damn book. It just, blanks out on me. I don't know, there's a lot to read here. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's like, I don't understand why the Chinese chick and the colonel are working together. Why they needed to frame somebody for something. Oh, yeah, and there's priest in here who's perverted in some way. I forgot. I think he likes boys. Someone in here likes boys. Aside from Frank Grizzle. Well, Grizzle doesn't like boys. He just likes guys. Yeah, he's gay. Whatever. Okay, well, if that... You know what? Let me get the back of the book. Yeah, it is 1953. I don't know why it says he's a womanizing private dick. Who's seen it all and done it all. Twice. So yeah, young hookers are turning up dead in the streets of San Francisco in the Tenderloin District. And the Tenderloin District's not a place you want to go to now. Trust me on that. It's not as bad as Hunter's Point, which you don't want to go to, or Richmond, which you don't want to go to, but you can, at least in the daytime, not in the night, really. In Oakland is not that bad. Let me see. Yeah, no, doesn't really say much here. Huh. Oh, yeah, look, Brad Rader he directed HBO Spawn, which he won an Emmy for. Yeah, I wonder why he didn't do the artwork. Oh, look at that. Brad Rader's gay. I don't know about Anderson. Yeah, because it says Brad lives in Los Angeles with his spouse of 25 years, John Callahan. Unless Brad... Wait, I don't know. No, yeah. So yeah, Brad's gay. Wait. Who wrote this? But the story's by Anderson Gabridge. Is he not gay? And he dedicates his book to the memory of Loretta Anderson. Huh. Oh, he's an actor. Never heard of him, but he's an actor. Hmm. Maybe they're both gay. Yeah, I don't know, whatever. Who cares who's gay? I do, because it's depressing. They get some and I don't get any. I think when you're gay, it's easier to get laid. Especially if you're a guy. Because your both testosterone is like amped up. Well, no. Well, depends. Because some act like girls. Have a lot of estrogen. That sounded wrong. But you know what I mean. So, yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So when I first read this, I had forgotten that all the Vertigo crime are in black and white. Because I'm kind of dumb. It works here. It works here. Because, you know, it's in the 50s. And it's noir. Noir. So, you know, I don't, like, like, I know Vertigo Crime Line is, supposed to be about crime. So I can see the black and white working, but a lot of them, I don't think, take place in this time period. I know there's a Constantine one, and some other ones, and they take place in the now. Like, I don't know how it would work there. So, but, you know, if all the Vertigo books are done this way, they're all put together well, you know. But this one has, like, the weirdest cover. So, there's a picture of the Golden Gate in the background and the city and this fog all over. But then in the forefront, right, in this 3D-ish picture it looks like smoke. I think it's supposed to be fog, but it looks like smoke. But it's cool. I thought this book was, fall apart in my hands. Ah, $20 is a lot. I mean, you get a lot out of it, but looking at it, you're like, it's kind of thin. But it took a while to read. Not that I paid $20, because I got mine from InStockTrades.com, where I saved up to 37% cent off. InStockTrades.com. Tell them Mark Johnson sent you. Oh, yeah. That would be nothing, by the way. Yeah, the best thing I like about Fogtown is that it captures the era. Era. Pretty well. It has the slang, which I got most of. It has the smoking in the bars, which I kind of missed. And it has, you know, like, racist terms, which are always nice. The brutality of the police, like, Grizzle gets a beat down, and there's no... Oh, no, I forgot what the Miranda rights are. I mean, I know what they are, I just can't remember them off the top of my head. You have the right to remain silent. You would think I would know. Okay. There's like a lot of that. It's cool. So, I felt like I was really there, despite the fact that, you know, I was like 30 years before my time. But there's something about reading the 50s. That's pretty charming. Maybe it's because I love Back to the Future. Yeah. September 13th, 1955? I don't remember. Anyways. But, like, that whole era, racism and oppression aside, it seems to be a lot more freedom. And it was definitely not even PC. I don't even think they, like, if you went back and were like, that's not politically correct, they'll look at you like, what the fuck does that mean? And then people dress nicer in suits and shit, and there was a lot more manners, and streets were cleaner. There was a lot of trash everywhere. Anyways, this book captures all that crap very well. So, there's a mystery in the book, aside from the dead hookers. It's weird. It's weird. In some ways, like, the mystery is about Frank Grizzle's life and his struggle about his own sexuality. And it kind of sucks that when I went to Vertigo's website, I saw a link and they they told me what it was. Like, they kind of said he was gay. And then reading the back of the book is like, oh, he's a womanizer. He's this, he's that. He's a two-bit detective. Nothing about him struggling with his sexuality. So, thanks, Vertigo's blog. That was kind of a spoiler. I think it would have been better had I read it and just known. Or, you see, this... I don't know. Well, the Vertigo's blog didn't spoil anything with the quote-unquote doctor being his daughter, which seemed a bit tacked on. I mean, there are essentially two things here. There's the mystery of the dead hookers and the ledgers and the colonel and the Chinese chick and all that crap. Your standard detective plot. And then there's the struggle with Frank's identity and what he's going through, which... at times, it seems a bit mishmashed. Like, I'm just reading it, and it's like, if it was one or the other, focused more on one or the other, I think it would have been better. Especially, I don't know, maybe it's because towards the ending, I was a bit confused. I suppose I get more on that later, but yeah. So, like I said before, this is black and white art. While I'm not a fan in general, I enjoyed the art here. It's clean. Each person was done differently, so you can tell who's who. And I think, like, that aspect is more important in black and white comics than in colored comics. Like, I enjoy The Walking Dead, but they all look the same. Let's be honest. I sometimes have no idea who's who, except for Rick, who only has one hand. Oh, spoiler alert if you've not watched the show. Although, it theoretically would be a few seasons. What was I gonna say? Oh, they don't look the same, like, as in why they all look the same. Like, oh, you're like, oh, there's a black person and a Mexican person. But they're really just white people with different colored skins. You know what I mean? But in, in Walking Dead, they all look the same in the fact that they're all grimy and dirty, which makes sense, but it's like, oh, so they all have unkept beards or hair, and that makes it a bit hard to understand. But here, everything's clean. It's a clean era. Nice use of shadow and everything, and all the people look different. It's good art. Good art, Brad Rader. All right. Now, yeah, what was I gonna say? Okay, so I said earlier the ending got a bit confused and convoluted. Maybe with all the twists. Like, the colonel has some muscle. This big black negro who basically kicks Grizzle's ass. But it's like, I didn't get this part. He frisks him and then Grizzle has a knife, but he lets it slide. I kind of thought the way maybe it was John that he frisked him and, oh, he's got a boner. Maybe he's gay. Because the colonel said he likes to butt fuck people. Or rape them. I'm not sure. Both of them. So, there's this weird fight scene. And the negro helps Grizzle. Because he looks down at his pocket and then there's the knife in his pocket. So the black guy allows himself to be cut and scarred across his face. And then at the end, when Grizzle wins the day, I think Chinese person gets shot. I should probably say this. Chinese person gets shot. And the colonel, well, I guess Grizzle doesn't work for the colonel. Or he does. Or he blackmails him with the, you know, the ledgers. So they're holding hands in some park benched. Yeah, the black guy and Grizzle. I'm not even sure if the black guy says anything in the book. Well, I think he says like a couple sentences. Like, you should leave. And that's about it. So that didn't make any sense. Yeah. Unless, because there's this part where they go, I want to say the Presidio. I would just say the Presidio. Not sure where it's at in the city, because Grizzle goes out late nights to, you know, get taken in the park by men. Unless that black guy was one of the men, but you don't really see who it is. I think it was. I think that's what it's supposed to be. I don't know. It's very weird. I'm not even making it sound right, because that's how confused I was. So, reading Fogtown, you know, made me want to write some detective fiction again. When I was a kid, I tried to write it. And I think I still have a couple of the stories, and they were fucking horrible, by the way. Now, I'm not big on detective stories. Maybe this is why Batman so big. Like, comic books as a medium probably do detective stories the best. Although I really do enjoy The Last Boy Scout. Or as what I like to call Die Hard 4. No, not Die Harder. The Last Boy Scout. I'm gonna dance a jig. So, for my first ever Vertigo Crime Line book, on the Marka Critic score, I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. As always, thanks for listening, everyone. I appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes. Next week's pick will probably be The Unwritten Inside Man with a guest host. Who knows? If you have comments, questions, or suggestions, you can email me at vertigocast@gmail.com or go to thecomicforums.com and buy my comics. To see what's coming up, visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. I'm also part of the Comics Podcast Network. You can check that out at comicspodcast.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can win much either.